I put away childish things. I put away childish things. And I really have no title for today. If you want to title it anything, just title it Father's Day. Amen. The Lord bless you today. You may be seated. All of the men here in the house, we have went through hoods in our life. Y'all know that? Some of you grew up in the hood. Some of you grew up in the hood and you didn't even know it. Amen? First of all, you grew up in childhood. How many of you remember your childhood? There's a lot of my childhood that I can't even remember. I for whatever reason, it's been blocked out of my mind. I don't know why. I try to think about things that have happened, and I remember some things, but a lot of my childhood I cannot remember. But I do know that I was a pretty wired up young man when I was a child. Brother Eves is about to say it. Amen. Amen. Those of you who know me knew that I was a wound up young man and running through the church just like some of these do here today. And when you look at them and you think, man, they're so bad, just look at me and you know that there is hope. Amen. But you in your life, you had situations that you went through as a child and you went through childhood. And we're thankful that your childhood is over with. And as the scripture says, that when you were a child, you spake as a child, but when you were a man, you became man and you put off childish things. Something else that we went through called boyhood. How many remember your boyhood? Amen. Some things that you have done that you would never tell mama. Possibly you would never tell daddy. Some of those things you're going to take to your grave because you don't want anybody knowing what you done. Amen. But again, aren't you thankful, Brother Dickerson, that you're no longer in boyhood or childhood? Amen. There's one thing that I don't like to see is a grown man trying to act like a kid or trying to look at the traits of the younger men and trying to act that way. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You see the ones in the store, in grocery store all over town that are trying to act like they're young and at that attitude. Amen. There's things that we done in boyhood that we knew better to do. Mom and daddy warned us. Grandma and grandpa warned us. Our pastor warned us. But yet we done them anyway. So when you look at these kids and you see, man, my kid is so bad. Everybody gets on to my kid. Everybody does this to my kid. Just look and just know that there's hope. Because you made it through it. Amen. You might be a little warped here today. Amen. You might have drank water out of a water hose. Amen. Nowadays, you're saying don't do that because of some. I mean, we did it. Can I say that again? We did it. There's nothing wrong with us. Amen. Brother Lozano, you and Brother Washington, Brother Glenn Morgan over here, y'all are some of our elder men. Brother Godier, I'm pretty sure y'all done things that we can't even imagine back in the days. Because y'all didn't have the stuff that we had. Y'all had to come up with your own games. You had to come up with your own playtimes or whatever. So I can only imagine the stories that y'all have. But boyhood is now over for us dads and for us fathers. Our voices don't crackle no more. We're trying to go through puberty. Amen. Boyhood is gone now. And then we enter something called manhood. This is when you become a man. Brother Grissom says it like this. If you question whether or not that you're a boy or a girl, check your plumbing. And you'll know real quick whether or not you're a boy or a girl. There's a world out there today who's trying to twist these kids' minds to make them think, well, if you feel like a girl, be a girl. If you feel like a boy, be a boy. Or if no. You were created the way that God wanted you to be. There is no changing. There is no switching. So if the world tries to tell you, hey, do this or do that, or they're trying to teach you that all this stuff is okay, you go by the Bible. If the Bible says it's not right, you don't do it. Amen? Amen. See, we didn't have to deal with this stuff in school. I mean, it was all in the closet. If anything was going on, it was in the closet. Now that closet's done been broke down, and they done built a mountain on top of it. Amen. It's out there. This next year at school, they're going to be teaching you guys all kind of things that it's okay for a guy and a guy to be together. It's okay for a girl and a girl to be together. Amen. The Bible talks about a man and a woman becoming in marriage. So when the world tells you, hey, it's okay to do this and to do that, you don't listen to them. Amen? You don't listen to them. You say, no, I know better than that. It's supposed to be a man and a woman together. Amen? I've never seen a man and a man have a baby. I've never seen a woman and a woman have a baby. But if you're going to be a dad, you have to be able to produce and you have to be able to have offspring, a child, children. Amen. I don't know how I got into that. Amen. But manhood is so important to each and every one of us. We can't look at this world. I'm sure y'all watch different videos and so on and so forth. I encourage you not to watch them, moms and dads. Please be careful what your kids watch. Amen? Amen? Please be careful what your kids watch, because there are messages in every movie that's created. There's messages in every video that is created. Somebody creates the video and they say, I'm going to do this for this purpose. They have it in their mind. They create the video for a reason. They don't say, oh, this looks cool, I'm going to put it out there. Some people might. But most of the people have a reason for putting something out there. And y'all be careful what you watch. Even cartoons nowadays. You can watch a cartoon and they'll have a guy and a guy holding hands or hugging on each other or something. Y'all know that's not right, right? Right. Amen. He's shaking his head. All right. You know that's not right. But we got to be men. We got to be men. Right now, you are going through childhood and boyhood, but one of these days, you're going to be able to be a man. Fathers, you've already been there. You've already done that. So if you have kids here today, it's your duty and your job to teach these kids. Most of you have grandkids. It's your duty to teach your grandkids. Amen. We must become men for our families. But most importantly, we must become men for God. God is looking for good, honest, godly, holy men that he can call his own. Amen. He's looking for men who are faithful. You know, when the end comes and we stand before God, what's he going to say? Well done, thou what? Good and faithful servant. He's looking for a couple of faithful men. He's looking for a good couple of faithful fathers here today. And I believe we got a house full of good, faithful fathers. Amen. And I appreciate every single one of you. Amen. For what you bring to your family, what you bring to the church, and what you bring to God. Amen. I'm thankful. There are so many things out there. And we could do a poll here today, not knowing who voted yes or no or whatever, but there's some men in here today who may be addicted to pornography, may be addicted to different things that you don't want anybody. Again, you'll take those things to your grave because you don't want anybody else to know. But Brother Lozano, the one that means the most, he knows already what's in our heart. He knows what we do when that door closes behind us and we click on that computer. Or we click on our phones. Or we click on our tablets. God knows. You're not fooling nobody. Amen. It's supposed to be an encouraging message today, Brother Bacon. Well, it's also supposed to be a challenging one. I want to challenge you that if those things are going on, amen, let the Lord completely deliver you from those things. That way you can be a good, godly, faithful man for God. Amen. And for your family. Hallelujah. If those things are going on, all it's doing is putting garbage in your mind. And we all know the saying, garbage in, garbage out. You fill your mind full of a whole bunch of mess, before too long you're going to be speaking it. It's going to get in your heart. Amen. But I want to encourage you men today to be good, godly, faithful men. Amen. Another hood that we go through, that all of us need to go through, a biblical manhood. Biblical manhood. We have to come under the authority of God. Most importantly, we have to come under the authority of our pastor. How many of you know that I still have a pastor? Brother Grissom is still my pastor. Until the day he dies, he will be my pastor. I am under authority under him. He's my authority. He can come in this church at any point in time and say, Brother Bacon, I don't think things are going right. I'm yanking your chain, pulling you down. I have no problems doing that. Matter of fact, I welcome him in here. When I see him walk in, my heart drops. My stomach drops. Because I'm like, man, you know, because I'm trying to please my pastor. I brought myself under subjection unto my pastor. And God has and this is awkward for me to do this because I am your pastor. But God has placed this shepherd over your life, one that you can see. We don't see God. But if you can't place yourself under subjection under your pastor, how can you place yourself under subjection to God? Whom you have not seen. Just like we were talking about this morning, being humble. I'm not saying that I'm higher up than anybody. I got a different office than you do. Amen. We're all children of God. Amen. I'm not trying to say that I'm over anybody. But there comes a point in your life where you got to bring yourself under subjection to the authority in your life. I'm responsible for each and every one of you that are here. If you call Athens, Texas, Athens United Pentecostal Church your home, I'm responsible for you. And it is very, very important that you let me know when things are going on. When you're in the hospital, I find out all the time that somebody's in the hospital and I don't even know about it. I'm like, man, why didn't they call me? I could have went up there and prayed with them and visited them. You know, it's not always going and praying. How many of you remember when Brother Davis came to the hospital to be with you? Brother Grissom came to be in the hospital with you. Amen. Brother Davis was at each and every one of Cameron, Caleb, and Caden. He was at the hospital when they were born. He dedicated them. He married me and my wife. He married my dad and my mom. I mean, he... So many things that he done, and those things stick in my mind. When your pastor comes and prays for you, amen, God might heal you and he might not heal you. But at the same time, you have that in your mind that, you know what, when I'm in need, my pastor's going to be there. That's my job. My job is to serve you. Just like Jesus Christ, he came to be a servant to every person. So again, we have to come under the authority of God, but we can't do that unless we come under the authority of the man that he has placed over your life. One day I may not be your pastor. I don't know. But whoever's standing here and God has put this shepherd over the church, I mean, you need to put yourself under subjection to him. Amen. He's not going to lead you astray. If he's a true pastor, he won't lead you astray. He wants to see you succeed. And when you're not here, he worries about you. I'm talking third person here. Amen. Because your pastor does worry about you when you're not here. When you're sick, amen, he wants to come and pray for you. When there's things going on in your home or whatever, and you know, you can't tell anybody else, just understand that there is confidentiality between me and the congregation. Amen? Amen. Just know that. God is calling us to listen to his word and to follow his word. Amen. But if we don't read his word, then how can we follow his word? Men, we need to have a devotion time every day that we get into the Word of God and just read. Just let Him lead us and guide us. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against Thee. Amen. Something that we got to do. We got to take His word, Brother Bowman, and we got to put it inside of our heart. So when things come against us and battles come at us, amen, we can speak His word. Amen. The inspired word of God. And we can eliminate those things. In the name of Jesus, let it be so. Amen. If we are not listening to His word being spoken, then how are we able to lead our families the way that God wants us to be led? That's why it's important to be at church. Amen. Because God sees your needs. And He puts it on whoever's preaching. He's saying, hey, speak this, preach this, do this, do this. And if you happen to miss, then you miss out on what God has for you. You miss out on that opportunity that God is trying to lead you. Amen. If you are leading your family in your own direction, it's probably not going to work out for you. How many of you tried to live your life on your own before Christ, B.C.? It was hard, wasn't it? Every day was a battle. Every day was a trial. You didn't really have anybody to call on. But after you got Christ in your life, amen, you still had those battles, but you had somebody that you can call on. You could call on your Father, and you could say, Lord, I need your help today. And He would step in there, and He would take over, and He would bring peace. Scripture says that passeth any and all understanding. Amen. But we can't lead our families our own direction. We got to lead them the way God wants us to lead them. Amen. Brother Dickerson and myself and Sister Elsa Morris were talking on the parking lot a couple of weeks ago. And he said something that really struck me. He said that the way that we teach our kids will show through our kids by the way they treat people. In other words, if we teach our kids not to respect the leadership and the authority, it's going to show. Because when somebody gets on to them, they're going to, you're not my daddy. You're not my mama. You can't tell me what to do. But you can always look at that one that somebody has taught them. And whether they know you or not, they'll have that respect. And they'll either say, yes, sir, or no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Or they might not say anything, they'll just go do it. It's the same way Brother Grissom used to say this. Don't go home and eat your pastor for lunch. In other words, don't go home and have a discussion about what the pastor's doing wrong and all these things. Because of the fact that it will show through your children. That they'll start disrespecting. They'll start, amen? They'll start coming against the leadership of the church. And it'll show through how mom and dad do. That's why it is so important that we teach our kids. Amen. In Deuteronomy 6:4, Scripture talks about, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then it goes on to talk about that when you get up in the morning, you should teach your kids. Amen. When you lay down at night, you should teach your kids. When you're walking about, you should teach your kids. You should put it on doorpost. Amen. We should always be teaching our kids about God. I said it again, and I'll say it again, that if we don't teach them, somebody else will. And what they're teaching them probably isn't what you want them to learn, what you want them to know. Amen. So dads, it's important that we teach our kids and our grandkids. Amen. They say nowadays that kids are running the adults and that ladies are running the men. Men, it's time for us to stand up and say, you know what? God has placed me head of this house, and sweetie, I love you so much, but I'm going to need you to follow me. It's time for me to stop following you, but you and the kids need to start following daddy. And then it's time for you to get under subjection to your pastor and to God and start leading them in the right direction. Amen? If you're not doing that today, I want to encourage you. Amen. Turn over a new leaf. Let this be a new start for you. If you're not leading your family right now, if you're not teaching your grandkids, if you're not trying to teach them about God, amen, turn over a new leaf and start today. Yeah. Amen. They always say that a new diet starts when? On Monday. Amen. Whether it's Tuesday or not, you'll say, well, I'll start it next Monday. Diet always starts Monday. Amen. But start today. Amen. Start today. Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30, it says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God is looking for some men to stand in the gap for his family, to stand in the gap for the lost people in the church. Way too long has the ladies carried a church and carried this church. Amen. The ladies outnumber the men in this church. Their prayer room outsounds ours almost every service. Why is that? Nobody answered. Amen. We got to get back to the basics, men. We got to start leading our home. We got to start leading our church. Amen. I love these ladies, and I appreciate their support. Amen. They're here to support us. Amen. I appreciate every lady that's here. But, men, it is our duty to lead the church and to lead our families. Amen. I know inside you're saying amen. You might not be saying amen on the outside. Amen. We are responsible for our home. We are spiritual leaders. We're responsible for our church, the prayer room. Amen. It all started back in the beginning with Adam and Eve. God had a setup with Adam before Eve ever came on the scene. You ever notice this in the Bible? That God had a set plan for Adam. Let's read this. Genesis 2 and 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So first of all, what did he do? He gave him something and told him to keep it and to dress it and to prepare it. Genesis 2 and 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found any helpmeet for him. So he gave him the garden, told him to dress it. Then he gave him a job. All the ladies say, amen. Thank the Lord for my husband's job. Young men, before you get married, before you even think about marriage, you better make sure you got yourself a good job. Amen. Can I get an amen from the ladies? Amen. But guys, here's your part right here. Genesis 2 and 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Amen. All the men say amen. So he got his... He got a job, he worked, and then he went to sleep. Amen. I thought that was funny. Amen. And he took one of his ribs, then closed it up, the flesh instead thereof, and the rib, which he gave to the woman. We know the rest of the story, and the woman came, and she was Eve. Her name was Eve, not Steve. The Bible says that Adam and Eve. Amen. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, not stay with mom and daddy, not, well, we can live with mom and daddy for a little bit. Amen. I had to do that. Whenever me and my wife got married, we had an apartment already set up. When we got married, we moved in. And a couple years later, I started acting crazy. And we separated for a while, and we were like financially in trouble, so we had to move in with our in-laws. And those of you who have ever done that, you know that is not a good idea. Amen. That is not a good idea. But therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's why I was talking about this morning that I just feel lost and empty. I texted my wife earlier, and I said, I just feel like half of me I left at home this morning. And she texts back and said, the better half. And I said, you're right about that, babe. Amen. But then there came a time where God came down and he was searching for Adam and Eve. And he said, hey, where are y'all? And Adam said, well, you know, we hid ourselves because we're naked. And he said, well, who told you? And then he went into the part about, he said, well, I ate the fruit because Eve brought it to me. And I listened to her. Sometimes you are not supposed to listen to your wife. It's going to get a little quiet here for a minute. Sometimes you need to listen to God and let him lead you. Because sometimes your wife don't hear from God like you should and that you do. You know that God talks to us? Just some of us don't hear him because we're so busy with our life. The Bible says that he comes in a still, small voice. But sometimes we're not supposed to listen to our wife. Well, Brother Bacon, how do I know? Because you got to be in line with God. Your wife will speak something, and something inside of you will say, you know what, you better listen to her. Because all the ladies know that you have something called an intuition, right? A woman's intuition. And my wife has told me several times, can I tell you I told you so? And I'd be like, don't even start. Don't even start. She said, if you would have just listened to me, just look at the trouble that we would have saved. So, amen. There's times to listen to your wife, and then there's other times that you shouldn't. And Adam, at this point in time, God told him, don't eat of that tree. And yet his wife, Eve, brought it to him, and he ate of it. Amen. If you don't know what God wants, then how do you know when to listen to your wife? Say that again. If you don't know what God wants, then how do you know when to listen to your wife? There's something that we have on our vehicles, and I am closing, that's called tires. And after a while of driving on those tires, they get worn down. And if our alignment on the front of our vehicle is off, one side may wear down faster than the other side. And there are times that you got to run to Walmart or to a tire shop and get new tires. You can do that for a while, just keep replacing the tires, but then there comes a point where you have to get a new alignment. You got to get the alignment fixed because you're noticing that on the passenger side front, it's starting to wear down more on the outside than any other tire. And it's when you let go of the steering wheel, it's starting to veer over. You got to get it realigned. And that's what I'm asking you here today. Is it time to get realigned? Is it time for realignment? We've gone a many a miles and a many a days and many of months and a many of years, but is it time for us to have a realignment done on our heart and on our souls? If we are aligned with Christ, then we will be aligned with other men. If we are aligned with Christ, then we will be aligned with our spouse and with our children. Amen. Amen. When you are aligned with Christ, your goal is to please him. And if something is happening in your life and you feel conviction, or your pastor says something or a preacher says something and it hits you, you try to change that. And you don't say, well, bless God, they don't know who they are talking to me like that. Well, maybe it's God trying to speak to them, to speak to you, to get realigned. How many of you know that every one of us got to realign and get back on the track sometimes? All of us get sidetracked every now and then. That's why it's so important to come to the house of God, because this is where I get realigned. Amen. I can realign at home, and I do sometimes. But coming to the house of the Lord with the encouragement of the brothers and the sisters, amen, this is where I get my realignment every service. And some of you have came, and you come service after service, and there's never any alignment happening. Amen. I want all the men to stand and come up here at the front just like you did earlier. All the fathers. Amen. Most of us grew up with a dad or a grandfather. And our goal, Brother Lozano, was to please our dad. Was to please our granddad. I don't know about you, but I never wanted to hear the words come out of my dad's mouth. You know what? Bubba, you disappointed me. And even though we are now past the stage of childhood, boyhood, and manhood, now we're moving on to biblical manhood. It's not our dads or our grandfathers or our wives that we're trying to please now, but we're trying to please God. Amen. And if we can please God, that's all that matters in this world. Because if you are aligned with God, His love will show through you and will shine through you to your children and to your wife and to the other brothers and the sisters in the church. Amen. God is trying to call some men here today, some dads and some fathers, to commit themselves to be a part of His kingdom. Amen. Amen. You know, like I said earlier, I never went through this. But I imagine in my mind that last night, a kid was maybe punched or kicked or hit because of a dad that came in drunk or just because he was mad or angry. Each and every one of us brings something home every time that we come to our home after a long day of work, or maybe we had to clean out the sewer, or something happened that, man, we're just inside, we're just frustrated, we're tired, we're discouraged. And then you walk in and you see those smiling faces of your kids or your grandkids. I remember when my kids were really young, and anytime I would come home, my wife would say, "Daddy's home." And man, them little feet would be running through the house and they would jump in daddy's arms. Nowadays, I don't want them to jump in daddy's arms. Amen. But I miss that. How they would run and they would jump in daddy's arms because they knew daddy was home. They knew that protection was there. They knew that safety was there. They knew that daddy wasn't going to let anything happen to him. And I want to challenge you men here today to be godly men, to protect your home,
yes,
to protect your grandkids. Amen. You may not see them but one time a year. You may see them every weekend. But any chance that you get, I want you to make a commitment here today that you will do your best to be a godly father to your children. Amen. Let's stand all over this building here today. I want to pray for each and every one of these fathers here today.